E-cigarettes come in a variety of flavors, from mango to vanilla, and they're often touted as a safer alternative to traditional cigarettes. And they've become an increasingly profitable industry. One of the major players, Juul, is now valued at $38 billion. But despite what their advertising might suggest, e-cigarettes have not been approved by the FDA as a smoking cessation tool. And the U.S. Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, has called the rise in e-cigarette use a, quote, epidemic. But regulation on the use of e-cigarettes has been minimal so far. That might be starting to change. This week, San Francisco's Board of Supervisors unanimously voted to pass a ban on the sale of e-cigarettes in the city, making it the first major city in the United States to do so. Joining me now to discuss the ban and whether or not it makes sense from a public health perspective is Andrew Twinemasico, a staff attorney at the Public Health Law Center at the Mitchell Hamlin School of Law. Andrew, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start in San Francisco. Why was this an issue in San Francisco at all? I mean, was this about kids using and having access to Juul?
I believe the concern in San Francisco is the same concern nationally. There's, as you pointed out, the Surgeon General has issued an advisory calling e-cigarette use an epidemic, and different government entities, including cities and counties, and now San Francisco, have been trying to figure out ways of combating this epidemic. And so this is just the same thing that different communities are trying to address the problem locally.
Now, we know that Juul is pushing back on this. I mean, have any e-cigarette companies raised the issue that, that what about traditional tobacco?
That's a great question. And that, there, like I mentioned, there are different fronts that are being taken to address the use of tobacco generally in the population. And San Francisco has actually been at the forefront of this, including regulating the flavored tobacco products, both e-cigarettes and traditional products, including menthol. And San Francisco was the first in the nation to adopt that prohibition.
Andrew, you said earlier that this is sort of mimicking trends that are happening across the country. Are there any all-out bans on e-cigarettes elsewhere in the country?
Recently, Beverly Hills actually took a step towards that, not just e-cigarettes, but all tobacco products, being the first in the country to do that. It's restricted the sale of all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes, in Beverly Hills, excepted only certain cigar bars and in hotels that allow room service. So basically, that's an flat-out restriction of sale of tobacco products within Beverly Hills. And in addition, when Utah regulated e-cigarettes, they gave the Utah Health Department the authority to regulate e-cigarettes. And under the Utah Administrative Code, there is a rule that's supposed to take effect on August 8th, 20 of this year, restricting the sale of e-cigarettes in the same fashion as San Francisco is doing,
Andrew,
until the FDA approves them.
What is the, this feels slightly paternalistic in terms of the ability for adults to make decisions for themselves about what they want and don't want to consume. What is the legal basis for these cities deciding to take these approaches?
So it is the function of the government, be it local government or the national government, to ensure that they're putting measures in place to protect public health, safety, and welfare. That's one of the main premises of human organization. And I think it would be eschewing their obligation to look at an epidemic in our hands and just look the other way and say, oh, this is fine, this is an adult choice. And by the way, that is also, I would say, a false premise, because we know that nicotine is the most addictive drug out there that's being legally marketed. And so it's not really a matter of choice. It is a matter of indulging addiction. People who smoke are doing so. People who use tobacco products are doing so to indulge in addiction.
We know that the side effects of and the effects of traditional cigarettes, we've known about these effects for decades now. It's still unclear what the actual health impact is on e-cigarettes. Is that not right? To make this determination?
As far as secondhand exposure, secondhand smoke is concerned, there is a variation between e-cigarettes and traditional combustible products. But we also have other negative health consequences of e-cigarettes being available. And as you mentioned, right now it's an epidemic within within a younger population who are daily getting addicted to tobacco products, including the toxins that are in e-cigarettes that are daily being inhaled in people's lungs.
Supporters of e-cigarettes say that they're effective in transitioning smokers away from traditional cigarettes. And there was a study this past January in England that found that they can actually do that. Do you think that's a valid argument?
That's actually a great point. And let's talk about that study. And I think that's a great starting point. And I mean, from a public health standpoint, if e-cigarettes are going to be put in the market and marketed as such as cessation aids, there is a regulatory pathway that Congress gave the FDA regulatory authority over to go through what they call a pre-market review. And what in the United States e-cigarettes that have those therapeutic virtues can do is to go to the FDA and say, look, we have these products available, and they help and prove their case to the FDA, whereupon FDA can give them approval. But I would like to talk about that study and just also talk about the limitations, because individuals were given robust counseling. There was behavior therapy that was included together in that cessation, so to speak. And the results were positive for e-cigarettes. But the difference is that people who are using e-cigarettes in the general population aren't using them in that particular setting. They're not getting behavior therapy. And there is a wide range of e-cigarettes that are unregulated on the market that are being used, and you never know what you are getting. And so the pathway to having that as a cessation aid is to go through the regulatory process that is through the FDA and then have that clinically supervised.
Andrew Twinemasico is a staff attorney at the Public Health Center at the Mitchell Hamlin School of Law. Andrew, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.